yourself. Sometimes we feel insignificant. And I think some of that is the flesh. Some of it is the devil. He wants you to be wishy-washy and uncertain about who you are. He doesn't want you to have a clear vision of what God wants you to do. He wants you to sit around, well, you know, he would rather you find fault among the people in the church. You know what? We confess, all of us, we're defective. We're a bunch of defective folks. Nobody's in here talking about I'm perfect and I'm the paragon of perfect righteousness. We know. Yeah, we got some defects. But that doesn't stop what Jesus did. That's why he went to the cross. He went to the cross because a bunch of defective people like me, there's no way you're getting in heaven, dude. Who you would look at your life. No way. If God had to look at me and analyze me based on me, nope, not you. And God knew that. But he still loves us. He loves you just like you are. Don't let that be, you know, the devil takes that side of it to make you feel bad, and he tries to keep you out of church with it. Who you think you are going down to the church? Everybody at the church is holy, but you. That's the way the devil works in your mind. But you know what? That's not true. How many folks in the church are holy without Jesus? Zero. So you tell the devil, yeah, you're right. I am unholy. That's why I need Jesus, and I'm on my way out the door. Heading down to the church quick as I can get there so I can give him some praise, so I can fellowship with all the rest of the people who he has blessed. That need to be saved, that are being saved. See, we're saved three different ways. We are being saved, we are saved, and we shall be saved. Three different tenses of your salvation. So say, devil, you know what? I'm not going to let you make me tense because I know about the three tenses. Now, you can't make me tense. I'm saved now, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. The psalmist said the same thing, didn't he? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Who's putting that shadow of death down? That's the enemy stalking you. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. You don't scare me. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. That's what David said to Goliath, right? You know, you might be big and everybody else running from you, but I come against you in the name of the Most High God. And the bigger you are, the harder you fall. You coming down, baby. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how ugly your shadow is and how scary it is. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You comfort me every time I start to feel flaky. Every time the devil accuses me of something, every time my own conscience accuses me of something, the Lord comforts you. He stands you back up every time you want to fall down. He comes down there in the valley where you're threshing wheat because you're scared they might get me, like Gideon. I'm coming down there to the place where you're afraid and say, oh, mighty man of valor, what are you doing down here? That's what he said to Gideon. Gideon down there hiding, trying to get a couple of kernels of wheat. I don't want them to see me. Every time I throw the wheat up, they see it from over there and come over here and steal it. So I'm going down in the hole. And God came down in the hole, right down there where you were, down there in the valley. That you scared, you trying to hide out. I'm coming to tell you, you're a mighty man of valor. He said, who came in? He looking around, who came in? No, you, Gideon. He said, beside that, there's too many people with you. Cut them back. We don't need that many. So don't go worried about how many you got. He told, send 30,000 of them, get them out of here right now. Then you got down to just a few. Well, that's too many too. I'm going to cut it back some more. I want the real people who know God. I want the faithful ones who are going to serve me no matter what. I want the ones who everybody thinks, this group of losers? No way. That's the ones I want. Because when they come through and devastate everything and show up with great power, people are going to go, that had to be God. Woo! That had to be God. There's no way you could have used this group. That had to be God. They did what? Huh? That had to be God. That's what they're going to say. They look over here and see what you're doing over here, little old St. Timothy out in West. Well, that had to be God. My God, what are they doing over there? See, that's the kind of way God gets glory. You know, the big and the powerful folk, all that, he ain't studying them in many ways. He's looking for the few. And I'm like, I guess this is where they got it from, the few, the proud, the Marines. No, this is God looking for just a few who have faith. See, and he's going to show the world. I can take a group who y'all had counted off. Y'all dismissed them. Y'all dissed them to the curb. They ain't going to get nothing done. But you know what? He's going to be glorified. God is going to get the glory. So that's what I'm talking about. Amen. So pray about where you belong in that. Where do you belong in it? Somebody going to say, little old Larry Adams. Well, the Larry Adams going to be a big giant in the sight of God. See what I'm saying? They're going to play you off all that tape. Well, I don't know about him. You're going to see what the Lord will do. It's a new year coming up. I'm preaching new year. They ain't got to Christmas yet. But it's a new year coming up. And God is going to move us forward. And you just watch and see, because I've been watching him bring stuff together. There's no way it could have ever come together. I'm watching it in our life and our business. We're seeing it in politics. We're seeing it in favor that God has given us with powerful people and stuff coming to us through different avenues, coming to us, bringing it right to bear on little old St. Timothy. And we know it's not us. We're not up here thinking, oh, we're such great leaders, none of that. No, this is God. It is the Lord God. And you watch and see. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it at that. Pray on it and watch and see. It's going to be old taste and see that the Lord is good. But let us hear a reading of the word here from the book. And I don't mind boasting, because I'm boasting on God. I'm boasting on the Lord. And I know where he bought me from. See, some of y'all really don't know. Some of you do. Some of you don't. And some of y'all see me after God's been working on me for a while. I had some people at my job say, man, you clean up pretty good. And they looked at you, see you in a suit, say, okay, boy, I didn't even know that was you. You know, not that the suit means anything. But God is able to fix stuff that can't be fixed by anyone else or by any other means. As long as you remember to give him the glory, don't go get proud and act like you did it. Glory to the Lord. Amen. So let's listen to this text here. This is a special message I want you to hear today. I'm going to ask the deacons to come and read. Grab a good mic so we can hear you. And we stand in honor of the word of the Lord, if you're able. Amen. We're going to see folk. We already saw one thing. You know what? I think God was showing us something. When Sister Cookie came in here and had been waiting to be here for all that time, and she sat back there in that chair and she said, oh, she wants prayer. We were going to roll her up to the front. She said, no, no, no. And she got up and walked that aisle. That's the tip of the iceberg. The tip of the iceberg. Some of you have been healed from some stuff that you didn't even know what was happening. And now you're looking pretty good. Say, thank you, Lord. Go ahead and thank you. See, and he's only getting started. Yeah, Lord. We on the tip of the situation here, people. Yeah, keep on trusting God. Keep your faith in the Lord. You're going to see miraculous things. And remember to humble yourself when you start seeing it under the mighty hand of God. And he will exalt you in due time. Amen. Amen. Let us go ahead and hear this word. Amen.
Let us break that band of London and cast away the car from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall lie. The Lord shall have them in his view. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. It's the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord, the book of the Psalms, the second psalm from the Psalter of 150 psalms. Now for the New Testament reading.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born.
Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord from the new covenant to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you today about Christmas, birth of the king. Christmas. Birth of the King. Let us pray. Everlasting God, we praise and bless you today, Father. It is a privilege, O God, and we thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to stand here in the sanctuary or to be seated here in your presence, Lord. And we're just meditating on the beauty of the gospel, Father. The wonder and the majesty of the gospel. The very idea that the eternal God, God the Son, would come into the world in order to reconcile men back to God, those who put their trust. And Father, the very idea that he would occupy human flesh and dwell among us according to your word. John the writer said that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord God, help us to see the majesty of Christ the King, oh God, and the prophecy that was written in your word generations before his incarnation. Lord God, we bless you today. We praise you. We thank you for revelation and understanding. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your church today, God, of which we are a part. We thank you that you put us and build us into this organism called the church, one stone upon another, living epistles known and read by all men. We thank you today for the gospel of your Son. Open our minds today, O God, and our understanding, Lord God, that we might understand Christmas, the Christ, and salvation, a new way that we have never really gotten a grip on before, Father. We give you the praise today, the birth of the King. Father, we bless you and we give you praise. Be in our hearts, Lord God. Open our minds and give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God a hand praise. Amen. I began to praise the Lord. Every time you pray, thank him and give him praise. Amen. Don't act like you don't think it's coming. That's part of the problem. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. See, faith means I trust what he said. I don't care what I see. I trust what he said. Makes no difference what I see. Now, you may not see what you think you asked for or what you need, but faith says if God said it, that does it. So I'm going to walk and thank you right now. If I ask you for something, I'm going to still thank you even if you say no. You can say no, you're God. How many times your kid asked you for something and you know they really didn't need it, so you said no. They may have been 2 years old, Daddy, can I have a Camaro? Well, I'm going to say no. But at some point in their life, maybe they got old enough and you could get them a Camaro. You know now already ahead of time they like Camaros. And so when they get to be of age, maybe you'll say, happy birthday, son. Here's a Camaro. Or whatever the case is, whatever they ask. I just give that as an illustration. So God might table some stuff you ask because you're not ready for it yet. But I know if there is a day when I can bless you, I know what you want. It's on my list. When I think you can handle it, it's coming. So when you ask God, thank him already. And give him the right as your father to say no. Don't get upset. The devil going to say, well, you see, you asked for that. You didn't get what you wanted, did you? And he'll be in your ear whispering, trying to get you to doubt God. So what you do is you praise him anyway. I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to thank you anyway. I'm thankful that you listen to me, that I can talk to you about whatever it is going on in my life. You know what? The world is in a situation now where the political climate in the world is getting higher attention. Have you noticed that? And in the middle of it all, just like God said in his word, Israel is still in the middle. Rejecting Israel, who rejected Messiah when he came. He came to his own, John said, and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them gives he the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. See, so he did that. But God said, Israel will remain. I'll get back to you. It's kind of like some stuff they asked for hasn't manifested yet. 2016 years have elapsed. Some of what they asked for, they haven't asked in faith because they didn't trust God to do what he said. But God is letting them sit there as an icon to the rest of the world. That this is what I can do. And they are the apple of my eye. Even though they're not right, that doesn't mean they're saved. It grieved Paul in a very particular way to look at Israel and find out that they were not saved. He was a part of unsaved Israel before he got saved on the Damascus Road. And he began to trust Christ when God turned it around and opened his blinded eyes, caused him to see that all through those scriptures that you know back and forth by heart, my son is in there. You don't see it. That's the problem. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Get that picture in your mind. Here he is. I got papers. I'm in the high part of Israel. I'm in the upper crust of Israel. I'm a Pharisee. I got papers from the Roman government. I got all authority to go down there and break up that church because that's nothing but a heresy. It's got to go. He had zeal for God, but it was not according to knowledge. He was zealous for God. In other words, I want to serve God and I'm doing the law, but I got to get down here because I don't believe this is what God is doing. He misunderstood God. It was not according to knowledge. He says in Romans 10 is the best explanation. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So he began to understand who Christ is and that you cannot be saved apart from Christ, especially after Christ has been manifested. So that first Christmas is the time when we celebrate when the word became flesh. We call that the incarnation. In other words, the word carnal or carne has to do with flesh. And this is when God, the Holy Spirit, the Son, God the Son, became flesh. And this is why it's so important that we understand when the Bible says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Because Christ was begotten in the flesh. He became flesh to fulfill the promises. He was the promise God made. This was a promise before man was ever created. In the throne room of the Most High God, before man had ever been created, before the earth ever existed, God and Christ, the Son, were face to face with the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, we would say. And that's why it says verses like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, that he chose you in him from the foundation of the world. He selected you to be saved. If you're saved and you believe the gospel, it's only because God chose you. He told his disciples, you did not choose me. I have chosen you, John 15 and 16. See, the reason you believe is God had selected you from eternity past before he made anything. And when the right day came, he gave you knowledge to understand that I've given Christ for you. And that Christ who came out of eternity, the eternal God, he hadn't been begotten yet. This is the mystery. When he was speaking with the Father, he promised to give the Son a redeemed humanity, but he had not become flesh yet. That's why John says in John chapter 1, in the prologue, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Understand that. God the Son was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him, there was not made anything that was made. See, don't let somebody tell you, they got all kind of hogwash they try to tell you about that. Christ was in the beginning with God. He was face to face with the Father. He is the Word who became flesh and dwelled among us. That's what John talks about after he tells us that in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Can't get a more clear statement about that, can you? And the Word, verse 14, became flesh. That's incarnation. And dwelt among us. That's him living in the world. The Word of God became flesh. The promise God made in the throne room. Put on flesh. He put on muscles and bloodstream and vessels and skin and hair and bones and marrow and walked among us. He was born from the womb of a virgin. See, God had made that plan. We talked about it in Sunday school a bit this morning. He promised that he would take on flesh because it was necessary that this promise made in eternity be fulfilled. I'm going to prepare a body for you, my son. This was before sin ever happened. It was a promise made in complete holiness. There was no sin. It was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One face to face with the other. And the promise was made. In Genesis 2, before the sin hit, we talked about this morning. After he had given the first law in the Bible, he said that of all the trees of the garden you shall freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil which is in the midst thereof you shall not eat. For the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And then it says, it is not good that the man should be alone. Wow, boy, that came out of nowhere. It's not good. Wait a minute, there ain't no sin yet, Lord. But it's not good that the man should be alone. And so what did he do? He made woman. It was through the woman that he created a doorway that the Word could become flesh without becoming a sinner. And that's a quality and a characteristic of every female that has ever existed. Did you know that? That's one of the wondrous things about the female anatomy, is that she was made to carry the baby without contributing to his bloodstream. God said that before the sin came in, because he knew there had to be a way I can get through and get past the blood of Adam, which will be contaminated with sin. And he had already done that when he made Eve. Isn't that awesome? Oh, what an awesome God we serve. And so here, as we look in Psalm 2, what was the destination of the child who was born in the manger, born in from the womb of a virgin? He would become the king. Not only just a king, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's his destination. And that's woven, I should say, throughout all of human history. And it will be manifested. You and I can count on it. There's a day coming when we look at a twisted political climate, all kinds of stuff going on. You don't know how it's going to turn out. I always like to remind people, especially the saints, because you're the only ones who can really hear what I'm saying, is that I don't care who's in the White House. Doesn't make any difference. If it's Donald Trump or whoever else you want to name, doesn't make any difference who's in the Kremlin. It makes no difference who's in Cuba sitting in the office of being in authority. We're looking forward to the great king, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. The government that was in place back when Jesus was born was the most corrupted one there has ever been in the history of time. How do we know? Because justice was averted and an innocent man was found guilty and given capital punishment. One who had never done any wrong to anyone at any time. In fact, the creator of the world was misjudged by man, by a twisted government that was full of sin and was on a power trip. All I want is power, 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 more power. That's all they want. So it doesn't make any difference what God is doing. Just give me some more power. The Bible's not the Bible. I'm going to say Dr. Hamilton said right out of this pulpit, that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. See, I know some people here heard about it, didn't they? When you get on a power trip, you're in trouble, baby. There's only one way you can go. You know, that's why they say, what does a man want when he has $1 billion? Another $1 billion. That's all he wants, is another billion. So you can be corrupted, but that government, whoever that was back then, we don't know them very personally, other than what we read in the word, they found God guilty. Not only did we find you guilty, even though the man who judged him said, I find no fault in him. Three times. He testified the truth. I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. Three times. He did everything he could to slip out of getting away with crucifying him because he knew he was innocent. And then the Jews said, well, you know what? You are no friend of Caesar. They pressed him up into the face of somebody higher than him. If you don't crucify him, you are no friend of Caesar. And he took that and went and washed his hands. Said, okay. His wife said, have nothing to do with that Jesus. She woke up out of a dream. God told her, he ain't right. And she got up out the bed, couldn't sleep that morning. Now leave him alone. Let's not have nothing to do with him. And he kept getting another sign that Jesus is innocent. But here we are on the other end of it. Let's come back around. We went to the end there. Back around at the beginning, the psalmist said this. And this is the climate that we have today. It's going to go on. It's going to get worse. Paul said, evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's how you know what time it is, Timothy. Here the psalmist David, the prophet, writes, why do the heathen rage, heathen or Gentiles? Why do they rage? They're upset about everything. LGBTQ, Black Lives Matter. We got all kinds of different stuff. We're all upset and we hate one another because I don't get my piece of the pie. And we're all twisted up with all kinds of different stuff. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. You know what all of that is worth? It's a vain thing. Amounts to nothing. The kings of the earth, here's the big wigs, the hot shots. They set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. See that? And against his anointed. This is the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, against the Lord. That's the tetragrammaton for the Most High God. And against his anointed, that's his son. Saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let's get out from under this Christ stuff and this church stuff and this rules and regulations and law and all of that. Let's just get rid of it all. Cut us loose. Let us be sinful. What makes you think this is sinful? I was born this way. You know what? Well, we were all born that way. Twisted. Warped. No good. Full of sin. Incorrectible. With full of trouble and envy, strife, contention, animosity, greed. We could go on and on. Everybody was born that way, not just you. Everybody. Nobody has a chance before a holy God. Who can stand before him? Who will be able to stand, the writer said, before a most high holy God? Who can stand? If he doesn't have mercy, who can stand? No one can stand. This is what the rulers and the kings are saying. Against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their bands asunder. Cast away their cords. They keep tying us up with a bunch of stuff. Cast away their cords. But he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. This is one of the few times it says God laughs. And the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath, which what's coming up for him, and vex them in his sore displeasure. To vex is to irritate. Yet have I set my king, no matter what they're doing, God says, I set my king up on my holy hill of Zion, which speaks of Jerusalem, the place where they're still there. You know, Zion sits right there, right now. Smallest little speck of real estate on the planet, the most influential, the most powerful of any spot on earth. It's the focal point of the blessing of God. God is preserving it to set his king on that hill. See that? He says, yet have I set my king, and it's in the past tense, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, and I will declare the decree. You want to talk about decrees and laws? The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, This day have I begotten thee. Wow, what son is that? That's the only begotten son of God. You mean to tell me this isn't Jewish prophecy? Yes, it is. Yet have I set my son, my only begotten son. See that? This day have I begotten thee. That's what we call Christmas, the birth of the king. He says, ask of me and I shall give thee the nations or the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. In other words, his dominion is from everlasting to everlasting, from sea to shiny sea, around the globe. And then he says, and thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Boy, that's something else, isn't it? The last time it got broken like that was after the flood in the days of Noah. God broke it up to look like a big jigsaw puzzle, the way it is now. In his fury and his wrath as he saved eight that were brought safely through the flood. But he says here of the son that you shall break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, like taking a clay pot, smacking it with a piece of steel. Bam, what's going to happen? It's going to fly into shards, many pieces. Be wise therefore now, O ye kings. Now therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. God says, wake up, smarten up. All you nationalities, races, kings, nations, rulers, whoever you are, serve the Lord with fear. And rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. I direct you to my Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. On the other hand, blessed are all ye that put your trust in him. When you trust in the Son, your account is right with God. Was that New Testament, Pastor? No, sir. No, ma'am. That's the Old Testament. Psalm number 2. See, and how do you get this? Meditate in his law day and night. Here it is in your face, the only begotten Son of God, the King of Christmas, if you will, in Psalm number 2 from the Hebrew Scriptures. Now, in Matthew, we get this. Matthew says, now the birth of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, that's what all the other prophets said, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, said he would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah of Judea in the days of Herod, the king. Wow, Herod. Where'd you come from, dude? Were you in the line of David? No, sir. No, man. He was an Edomite sitting on the throne, out of place. Israel had was under his dominion after the Romans had taken over, after they'd been under many captivities. They never really ever had power again from the last time they were deported into Babylon. They went into Assyrian captivity in 722, and then in 586 B.C., Babylonian captivity, and then they went through the Medes and the Persians and all kinds of other people, the Greco-Macedonian period, and then finally, eventually, into Roman dominion, and Rome set Herod, an Edomite, on the throne in Israel. He was not really, yes, he is a Gentile, but he should not, it was not the rightful place. He didn't belong there. You see, he usurped the throne, but God's line was still coming right on up the line, right up to the lineage in the household of Joseph and Mary. One from either side of the line came up to Joseph from the father's side, but there was a curse back a few generations back, preventing Joseph from being an heir to the throne. Even though Joseph and Mary were really lowly citizens under the dominion of Herod, they were in the kingly line, the line of David. They were both in the Davidic line. The mother from another son of David through Nathan and Joseph through the line of Solomon that had a curse back a few generations that he would never have one to sit on the throne. The curse of Jeconiah, it's called. But the right to the throne came through the woman side of the line, through Nathan. That was David's other son. And that was through the line of Mary. So as we look at this verse 2 in Matthew chapter 2, it says Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. And guess what happened? Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. These are some more Gentiles coming into the picture. You got a Gentile on the throne and Persian Gentiles coming in from the east. Say, wow, but how are these Gentiles involved in this thing? Saying, where is he that is born the king of the Jews. Oh, that was a troubling statement. Herod said, born? What do you mean born? How are you going to be born? The Caesar put me down here. This ain't got nothing to do with no birth. I was appointed the king. I'm sitting on this throne because the people in power set me here. And what do you mean there's one born, the king of the Jews? Boy, that was troubling. For we saw his star. Oh, this dude, he don't just have regular promotion. He got a star. What? What you mean you saw his star? He was furious. Oh, man, what? You saw his star? Oh, my goodness. What kind of a king is this? And you coming from what? Persia? Are you kidding me? And he got a star? Oh, man. He started to look. What's so strange is that, see, notice this. Verse number 3. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. Wow, not just him. All the others. They should have been looking for the Messiah. But instead of looking for Jesus, they were troubled. Oh, what does this mean? All the political climate is a mess now. Because the truth is still marching on.
Yes, Lord.
So they said, we better talk this over. Get all the important people among the Jews. Let's have a big peace accord. Let's get together and talk this out. And so it says, when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them, where is that Christ supposed to be born? I'm hearing so much about. He said, he got a star. Tell me about that. He started to pick their brain. Now he wants to know, what did the Bible say? So the political atmosphere in the world has always been running against the timetable and the plan and operation being conducted by God toward mankind, even as it is now. And just as it was at that time, the first advent of Jesus the Messiah, the powers that be were minding their own business, opposing God's plan. That's the way it was, even at that time. And the people were stuck in it somehow. They thought, well, this is troubling that we hear about this. We're not happy. They were not happy about the announcement that there was one coming who was born, the king of the Jews. Wow, this is going to disrupt our political climate. Things are not going to be as we thought they were going to be. It's starting to turn around. The Jews are getting back in their land, and we're starting to have stuff again. And now somebody comes along talking about somebody born, the king of the Jews, the king of Israel. Wow, they were troubled. They should have been happy. It was exactly what God had promised. The promise of God, that God to send and see the Son, Jesus as king, has been proclaimed from the very beginning of written prophecy. And when it was revealed in the Psalms, it was quietly anticipated by all who believed God at his word. They were waiting. There were people like Simeon. Remember him?
Yep.
Lord, I'm getting old, but just don't let me die till I see your Christ, till I see his face. And the Holy Spirit revealed to him that you won't pass until you see the Christ. And that's why when Mary and Joseph brought him in to be circumcised on the 8th day, he began to prophesy. Lord God, I can go to my grave in peace because I see the one you promised. He was able to go. Anna, the prophetess, was there. Different people still had faith. Zacharias and the family there who begot John the Baptist, they had faith. They understood. There were people with faith no matter what was going on in the political climate. That's why I want to ask you, and I thought this is an important message to talk to you today about Christ, the birth of the king, because it's still the same way right now. The politicians are making all kinds of promises and talking about what they're going to do and all that, and the world is mounting up with arms, studying war, how we can destroy each other. They're trying to get further out in space, think they're going to learn something. You know, what you're going to learn is God is bigger than you, and he got more sense than you ever had, or you ever will. And you can look to the ends of what you can see, and when you get through, I got billions of more spaces out there you don't know anything about. God said, I made it that way so you would fear me. But instead of fearing me, what do? I'm going to make a bigger telescope next year, and I'm going to be able to see into these other galaxies that I see farming over there. It's because you don't know who God is. Oh, it's a black hole. Yeah, that was your brain going out of focus. So the celebration of the first advent of Messiah has been severely altered to be as it is today. Although the believers who make up the body of Christ must never forget that Jesus is the reason for the season and that he is available to reign individually in the lives of everyone who trusts him and take him at his word. That's all God's asking you to do. Trust me. You know why you should trust him? I'm going to give you just a couple of reasons as we prepare to close this message. Number one, trust him because no one else has defeated the grave. I don't care how much science you know. I don't care about your paleontology. When you get through with all of that, can you get out the grave? Did you ever get up? No. You know, with all these people who talk about evolution in 49 billion years, when you get in the grave, can you get out? Hello. Yeah, we're going to do missions to the world and we're going to do this, that, and the other. Can you get out the grave, any of you? Mr. Trump, when you die, are you prepared to get out the grave? Do you know Jesus got out and proved that he is God? He didn't just talk about it. He got up and showed himself alive for 40 days. Said, all power is given to me. Okay, I don't know what kind of power y'all got. But he got out the grave. So you and I can trust him. And believe what he said. I don't care how many books and volumes of scientific journals and all that good stuff. You read the word of God. God said, my son got up. And I put him in time, centered your life all around him. It's 2016 this year because we celebrate Jesus when he got up out of the grave. Amen. When he was born in the world 2016 years ago. Nobody has that credential. Don't let anybody else trick you with any hogwash. What about the Hebrew Israelites? Can you get out the grave? I don't care what you call yourself. Black Lives Matter. Can you get out the grave? One person did. And he did it because he loves you. And when you submit yourself to him and believe that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. That's a promise from God. That's my best promise. I have never received a better promise than that. The next promise is better than that I received. I married my wife. I told her I'll be with you till death separate us. Made that promise. See? And even when death separates us, we come out to pray because we trust in Jesus. Amen. See what I'm saying?
Yes, Lord.
So don't make any difference. What you're doing, can you get out the grave? Is what you're believing in gonna get you out the grave? I don't care how many lotus positions you can get in and all that. Is that gonna get you out the grave when you die? Or are you gonna get up with all power? Like Jesus, he said, you believe in me, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, I think about all the people who were before me, my grandparents. I know I'm a little over time, y'all bear with me here. My grandparents, they love Christ. My granddad, when he was about to die, he saw us playing around doing something stupid, me and Ricky. He hooked us with his stick and said, get in here. He brought us in. He knew how to hook you. He had one arm, but he had a walking stick, and he'd get you with that thing like you was a fish, pull you up out the water. Get in here. And he pulled us in. He grabbed one of you and hold you with his knee, and he hooked the other one and bring him in. He had us both standing in there, and he was trying to tell us about Christ, and we standing up there like, you know, because he knew he was getting ready to go to the grave. But he stopped us to tell us about the Lord. I wasn't really listening. I remember the conversation. I got a witness in the room. Somebody else was there. He might still have the intention of his head from where I hooked him with his knee. I don't know. But he was telling us about that. We were quick to get back to our army men and marbles and all the kind of mess we were playing around with back in those days. But he said, this is important. You got to hear this. And he told us the gospel. And you know what? Later on, it caught on. It got me. One of the words is, train up a child in the way he should go. And even when he's old, he will not depart from it. He knows how to bring you in. He wants you to come. There's nobody Christ doesn't love. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, you're talking about, yeah, I was born that way. So was I. But that don't mean I'm going to reject Jesus. Because with Christ, you can be saved. Christ will take you, however you are.
Whatever you're struggling with, he can fix it. And he'll let you know in the meantime, I got you covered. I'm the only mediator between God and man. You trust in me, I give you a perfect slate with my Father. I'm the only one authorized by the highest government to let you go free and let you know you're free from all sin. From the moment you believe him until you see me. I loved it. I don't know about you. There's no better deal anywhere. Come on, Black Friday. My God. The best deal going. And we want to make sure everybody is a partaker of it. If you haven't trusted Christ, you ought to do it right now. I'm going to pray with you right now, a Christmas prayer. Lord God, we just bless and praise you. We thank you for the goodness of your word, Father. We know it's true, Lord God. You gave us conviction deeply in our spirit, Lord, that it's true. You came out of eternity. You got into the womb of a beautiful virgin. Stayed there for 9 months, went on a journey with her and Joseph. Before they came together, came forth into the world in an unseemly place and low conditions, yet you were the Most High. And you did that in order that everyone would understand that you are God who will humble yourself and come down and just to do what we need. Ungodly, awful people, no matter what we have done, Lord, you came to save us. You said you would save anyone whosoever believes in you. You filled your word with people like Rahab, a well-known harlot, saved by grace. All kinds of people who didn't deserve it, Gideon, scared, saved by grace. Abraham, old man, couldn't have a seed, saved by grace. You filled him with Sarah, his wife, who was well stricken in years, thought she couldn't get it done, but you saved her by grace. You rejuvenated her flesh, made her able to bear a son. Lord God, and you gave him the promise and passed it on up through all the generations that even today, whoever trusts in the name of Jesus Christ, saved by grace, nothing but grace, no works that we do add to it, just your grace, Lord. So, Father, today save somebody in the room by your grace, Lord. Let them know you love them just like they are, but you love them too much to leave them that way. Bless today, God. Give them that salvation that you told us to broadcast it to the ends of the earth. Let them know that they have given the assurance that you are on the throne. No matter who's set up in power down here, you have all power in heaven and earth. You defeated death in the grave. You have more science than any of us can understand. Through the defeat of death, no science we know can bring a person out the grave. But so, Father, you raised your son over 2,000 years ago so that we could trust and believe that you have the answer, Lord. Bless us in these times that we have here, God, that we might believe and move forward and share the message. Father, we want to broadcast right from here to the ends of the earth, Lord God. We bless you. We give you praise. We thank you for making it so because you told us to do it. We're not acting on our own will, our own impulse, our own desire. You said go into the world and teach all the nations. So empower us in this room, Lord. Bless somebody here with a good understanding of salvation today. Let it be Christmas, the birth of the King right now in their heart, Lord God. We thank you. We give you praise. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, your only begotten Son. And we're going to give him a hand praise right now. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 If there's anybody here who is not officially a member of St. Timothy MB Church, we ask at this time that you come. We give you the opportunity to join with us. I'm not going to speak for everybody else, but I am expecting miraculous changes in the next few days. I don't know where you are. I'm expecting miraculous intervention and changes in the next few days. Amen. 2017 is going to be a great year. And you know what? And what that means, even if the Lord is done, I don't know what he's going to do. It would be great just to be caught up to meet him in the air. That would be awesome. That's the next event on his calendar. But in the meantime, I'm going to be caught up, fixing up, and broadcasting the gospel. That's my plan. And he is going to make it so because that's what he told me to do. you're doing what he told you to do, guess what? You can get it done. You can get it done. You don't have anything to worry about. Just get moving. You know, find yourself involved in whatever he told you to do.
Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. We hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen. Amen. We want to thank God for everyone who is here in the sanctuary. We know God is working individually in every life. And I just want to say one more time before we close out.